Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Cormac Leach, founder and CEO of AXA Funder. AXA Funder is a UK-based platform that crowdfunds investments into litigation claims. To date, the platform has raised over £1.2 million across 10 claims, two of which have resolved, averaging a 70% IRR and resolution time of 11 and a half months. Cormac, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, John. Good to be here. Actually, in your intro, we've actually recently just favorably resolved a third case. So we haven't quite updated the website yet. But yeah, we've got three wins, no losses so far.
3-0. That's even better. Congratulations on that success. And I want to start by asking about your company's business model, because it's a little bit unique. AXA Funder is a funding platform for commercial litigation. So can you explain how that platform works? How do you source claims? What is the diligence process like? And what credentials does an investor need to join the platform?
Yeah, sure. I'll try and be brief. So we source claims kind of through a couple of channels. You know, I don't have the exact percentages, but perhaps about a third of the cases come direct through the website. So we have a pretty good digital presence now, being, you know, one of the few marketplace platforms for litigation. So if you type litigation platform into Google, we rank pretty high, and that generates some direct inquiries. We also get quite a few cases coming through brokers, and also more recently from some of our investors. And then, of course, we also get cases that other funders have rejected because they don't fit that criteria. You know, perhaps they're too small or what have you. So they kind of send them our way. So those would be the main sources of claims. And then, you know, around due diligence. So we kind of, it's been a little bit of a journey for us. We now have 10 criteria that we assess cases on. So we look for cases, obviously, with good merits, good enforceability, good ratio of damages to cost to litigate. Because we're mainly in common law jurisdictions, we're looking for an after-the-event insurance to be lined up. We're looking for lawyers that have experience running the type of case that's in question. We normally want the lawyers involved to have skin in the game, and also the claimant to have skin in the game. You know, we want to make sure that the regulation works. You know, you can't operate, for example, in the Republic of Ireland. Security for costs is a factor. We want to make sure that we're fully funded to trial. Because, you know, we're a platform and we don't have a pot of permanent capital, we do need to think very carefully about having a funding strategy to make sure that we don't run out of cash on the journey. That's a key consideration. Maybe the last one is just pricing, you know, so it's just, you know, how much money are we putting at risk and how risky do we think it is? And, you know, if you kind of do a probability weighted exercise, how does the, you know, what's the expected IRR? So that would be the due diligence process in a nutshell. And then in terms of, credentials, so we are mainly, today retail, investor funded. The vast majority of the capital is from high net worth retail, which would probably be the equivalent of accredited investors in the US. We take capital from sophisticated investors who are typically, you know, individuals who work in finance or, you know, understand finance. We have institutional capital. We have a small merchant bank involved and a couple of hedge funds.
I want to ask about the UK's Financial Conduct Authority, because the FCA looked into both peer-to-peer lending and crowdfunding investments and issued a set of rules pertaining to each one. Now, crowdfunding litigation doesn't exactly fit into either of those two buckets. So where does the FCA currently stand on crowdfunding litigation? And do you expect rules or guidelines to be forthcoming?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, so I don't know how closely your listeners kind of track what the FCA is doing in terms of changing the regulation, but there's been, you know, quite a lot of negative news flow around crowdfunding in general in the UK, and, you know, the FCA understandably been, you know, tightening up some of the rules. We quite clearly fit into the equity crowdfunding category, and, you know, we've taken a lot of legal advice, and we're very comfortable that, you know, from a financial regulation point of view, we're quite simply just equity crowdfunding. And then in terms of the litigation funding aspect. Currently, litigation funding as an activity is unregulated. I would expect at some point in the future it will start to become increasingly regulated. But the time being, from a regulation point of view, we just need to think of ourselves as equity crowdfunding.
And how does your platform manage the possibility of a costs award? This is something that obviously can happen in the UK and in a lot of other jurisdictions, not so much in the US, but litigation funders can be on the hook for costs over in the UK. So how would this work in a crowdfunded situation? And also on top of that, where does ATE insurance fit into that equation? Does part of the investment cover the premiums for ATE insurance?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So in the US, you typically don't need to pay, the loser doesn't need to pay the other side's costs. Whereas in the UK and other common law jurisdictions, you do. As you mentioned, we always make sure we've got after the event insurance in place. Having said that, even having that insurance in place is not a perfect solution because, a couple of things can go wrong. Firstly, the insurance company could fail, and it's unlikely that it's possible. Or secondly, they could repudiate the contract either because of misrepresentation by the claimant or negligence by the lawyer. So you could end up being exposed as the investor. However, we think it's an extremely remote risk because just statistically those kind of negative outcomes are very, very rare. And in any event, before the investors would be exposed, you would need the claimant to be unable to pay. And then our structure, I didn't mention at the outset, so we set up an individual special purpose vehicle, which is a limited company to fund each case. So in order for our investors to be exposed, you would need a cost order against the SPV, and then the judge would need to rule that you could pierce the corporate veil, which, we've taken legal advice is quite difficult to do. And then at that point, the investors would be exposed on a several basis, you understand. So there is a very remote tail risk for investors, but we flag that on each investment so investors understand the risks.
Yeah, and what about if a case drags on and all of that crowdfunding capital starts to dry up? Is there a contingency plan in place in case of that type of situation?
Yeah, so at the outset, as I mentioned, we typically have a capital plan through to the end of trial, and that's typically based on what's called in the UK a precedent H, which is a cost budget. So frequently we'll add on some kind of buffer to that precedent H. So we raise permanent capital equal to that amount. And then, of course, remember that the vast majority of cases will settle pre-trial. So, there's a very high probability you won't actually need that much capital. But it is possible that you do go to trial and costs escalate and overrun such that we could be in a position that we needed to raise more capital for a particular case. And, this is, one of the weaknesses in our model that other funders and investors sometimes point out. But, what I would flag is that, other funders will only agree to keep funding a case if the merits are strong. And if the merits of a case are strong, then, it's my view and it's certainly my experience to date that if we put it in front of investors and say, here's a strong case, it's progressing well, we're short of a little bit of capital, are you willing to fund it? Then frequently, even on the same pricing terms as originally, or possibly even slightly less attractive terms, the capital wants to come in because, our experience to date is that there's a lot more demand for these cases than the available cases that we have. So our view would be that if the case is going well and the only problem is lack of capital, we can quite easily source additional capital. But you're right. I mean, there is that residual tail risk that, we have a great case and, we simply can't get it through trial because we're short of capital. And we may in due course look to raise a small amount of permanent capital ourselves as a rainy day contingency fund such that we could step in and top up particular cases that needed, extra capital. The one additional point I would make is that, if we're trying to source capital for a case and the capital is not coming in, there's no reason why we can't sweeten the terms, right? A little bit like, doing a heavily discounted rights issue if you're a stock. Yeah, so we can sweeten the terms to attract that extra capital such that, you know, it becomes an offer that investors just can't refuse.
Now, the Association of Litigation Funders, ALF, they issued a code of conduct for litigation funders who operate in the UK. Are crowdfunding platforms like Axiom Funder bound by that code of conduct? And also, given that the code was designed with commercial funders in mind, how do you see Axiom Funder in that context?
Yeah, so, you know, I think as I mentioned earlier, litigation funding is not currently regulated. So it's very much a voluntary association of litigation funders. And you're right. I mean, if you look at the criteria of the association, one of the things they look for is permanent capital of at least £5 million. And our model means, under strict definition, we wouldn't qualify for that. It's interesting. I've just recently completed a kind of a blog post analyzing our model in the context of the ALF code, which I think is a useful exercise because, you know, we're a relatively novel approach to litigation funding. And it's quite difficult for lawyers and claimants to evaluate our model compared to the more traditional funding model. So what I've done is, you know, kind of line by line analysis of the code of the association and how we measure up in terms of different criteria. And, you know, what I found is that basically we're perfectly compliant on every dimension except the capital requirement, where you need to have £5 million. And, you know, my take on the £5 million of capital is that if you measure the available capital across our whole network of, I think we have something like 780 investors currently, you know, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty confident that across those investors, we have at least £5 million of capital. I think it works out at something like £7,000 per investor. So, you know, I think if you kind of rigorously go through the code, which I think is a useful exercise, you find that, well, strictly speaking, Axia Funder is not perfectly compliant. Actually, we have a pretty good way of robustly ticking each one of the boxes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. And I appreciate the transparency. You know, sticking with this same line of questioning, there are inevitably going to be some potential conflicts of interest for litigation funders and the cases they invest in. Are there any in particular you would draw attention to?
Yeah, so when I was going through the code of the association, one thing that struck me a little bit, and also, you know, just on my journey over the last couple of years, kind of coming into litigation funding, one thing that I think should be required in the code is that funders should be required to disclose the fees that they pay to brokers or other intermediaries that are helping them to source cases, because I think sometimes the claimants don't quite understand the incentives of the people in the chain, if you will. So that's one potential conflict. And, you know, the reason I mention that is that, you know, there's a certain amount of litigation going on in the UK currently where, you know, lenders like banks and so on are being litigated against for not disclosing fees paid to brokers. And some of those cases are actually being financed by litigation funders who themselves are probably not always disclosing their own fees paid to brokers. So it's a little bit of, you know, the pot and the kettle, perhaps. The other thing worth mentioning, I think, in terms of potential conflicts and ways to solve it, I think there's an underdeveloped role for litigation consultants in the litigation sector in general. The reason I say that is that frequently the lawyer involved in litigation is the primary advisor to the claimant or the litigant, and I see a potential conflict of interest there, because very often the lawyer's own fees are the main use of proceeds for litigation funding. So, you know, inevitably, people being human, you know, there's potential for conflict. So I think there's an underdeveloped role for a litigation consultant to come in, who's getting paid a percentage of the overall gross damages. He's getting paid by the claimant, and he's naturally aligned with the claimant, and he's more likely to act in the best interest of the claimant. And of course, you know, many claimants are one-shot players, right? So they don't have the benefit of going around the block multiple times. So I think that would be another way to solve a potential conflict.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think codes of conduct should always be looked at with, you know, with fresh eyes, and should be constantly reevaluated. So we'll see. Maybe they will update the code of conduct. Now, Axiom Funder recently completed the first tranche of a secondary market trade of litigation assets. I understand you're also looking to expand your secondary efforts by acquiring a multilateral trading facility license. So can you elaborate on this a bit for us? Why does the secondary market pique your interest so much?
Yeah, so I mean, my own background is, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I've kind of spent 20 years in capital markets and equity research and so on. And, you know, everyone knows the equity market is extremely liquid. And because it's liquid, I think the cost of equity financing for companies is lower than it otherwise would be. And it strikes me that there's tremendous opportunity to make the litigation market more liquid. You know, this is currently an extremely high yielding, non-correlated asset class. And I think with more liquidity, the cost of litigation funding would come down, volumes would increase materially. We would hope there's an opportunity to enable secondary trades of our own cases, but also potentially of other funders who, you know, may wish to, you know, kind of, you know, perhaps cycle their balance sheet or, you know, get some liquidity for some of their existing cases.
Got you. And final question for you. What are some of the current priorities for Axiom Funder? What are some of the current things that you're looking at?
Yeah, so we just closed an equity round ourselves, just raising some working capital, and we're looking to add to our case assessment team. So, you know, I don't know kind of the mix of your listeners, but if there are any experienced case assessors or, you know, perhaps litigation lawyers looking for a slight career change, we'd be very interested to speak to you.
That's terrific. A lot happening there. So that's very exciting stuff. Cormac, we really appreciate you coming on the podcast today and sharing all your thoughts with us and explaining your company's business model. It's very interesting stuff, and we greatly appreciate it.
Great. Thanks a lot, John. I appreciate it.
Great. And if you're interested in learning more about Axiom Funder, or maybe if you are that case assessor or that litigation lawyer and you might be interested in working with them, you can visit them at their website, www.axiomfunder.com. That's A-X-I-A, Funder, F-U-N-D-E-R.com. Thank you all for listening today. We really hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next time on the Litigation Finance Podcast.